Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Why, yes, it does. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Here we go.
And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Sing it, Brother Scotty.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, look at you, you happy fan types of people over there. Hey, and by the way, congratulations, because you're watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here, but we're going to tell you about our adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, well, guess what? This show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and grooving. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Come on, be a part of the show. Listen, we have some of the most wonderfulest people in the whole wide world here. A quick look tells us we've got people from,
oh my gosh, where are they not from? But exactly. I mean, if I had to pick some cities, I'd say Las Vegas, sure. Henderson, California. Yep. Now we're into states. Arizona, Washington, Canada. Now we're into countries.
Right.
Back into states with Utah, Mississippi, Michigan,
what?
Oregon.
Crazy.
That newer York, and Florida.
Beautiful Florida. That's right. And by the way, here's the other cool thing about being in the live chat. You're going to meet some very nice people. And I'm not kidding you. They are actually some very nice people. But we actually start to live stream this show before we record it. So they get a little bit of pre-show juice. But guess what? The real fun, the Vegas Video Network After Dark happens right after the show's end. We might do another half hour of completely nude, X-rated content. Now, this might scare you, but I'm telling you, there is a certain people out there who like BBW boys and girls. What is wrong with me?
We just give them all a little taste right there. We're just
That's a good-looking man right there, right? Hey, speaking of good-looking man, hello. I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? Hey, I'm the owner, founder of the Vegas Video Network.
What title don't you have?
Washer of bottles. Don't do that, no mole. Don't like it? Never did.
Outsourced it?
Absolutely. On behalf of myself, I want to thank you for watching this show and all the shows on the Vegas Video Network. I'm happy to have back with me. You know, it's either the first or the fourth. Yeah, first or the third Tuesday.
The math comes later.
Yeah, don't listen.
This isn't Saturday morning, so we don't have to do that educational informational programming.
I'm just telling you, it was a rough night last night, so bear with me. Thankfully, I'm not doing this show alone. I'm with, of course, His Royal Highness, the Pimpin' Wayne, everybody.
Thank you. I'm not the owner. I'm not the CEO. I'm not the founder. I'm just a man.
You are. Who loves a man? A woman. Okay, that's pretty. Hey, what's the over-under today, my brother?
Well, based on your current condition, I'm going to say
35 minutes.
Remember the old days? Remember we tried to do that 6-4-4-4?
Oh, I do.
Oh, my gosh.
So horrible.
That was like running a marathon.
I'm still
out of breath from that.
I hated it.
I'm going to say 76.
Wow, a lot of people in the live chat. We had 77, 85, 277. Oh, that's the same guy. 104, 89, 89. So 76. Let's see if you're right. By the way, we want to say hello new into the live chat. See, people actually do listen and accept our invitation. We've got Kevin W. from Canada. Kevin is a past winner of Hannum.
Is he, eh?
Yes, he has, eh? And then he's come back in just to brag and do a little boasting. He's a good man. From Calgary, he checked us out about a year ago on the iTunes. And then we have Shudwust. S-H-D-W-S-T. We're going to go Shad West on that. His name is...
Saving up to get those vowels.
His name is Shad. He's from Syracuse, Utah, and he found us on the YouTube.
I don't know if it'll catch on. I think it's a fad.
Which part?
YouTube.
YouTube, yes. They have no chance. Hopeless bastards got nothing going for them. What's it like to bring in $1 billion in a hopeless business?
That's all cat videos.
It is, really. Yeah, if it's over 3 minutes, no one will watch. Fuck that. Okay. What are we going to talk about today? Here's something that's pretty fascinating. This is something that we're going to be talking about that pretty much anybody who is in our audience has done at one point in their lives, multiple points in their lives. I've done it 1-2 times since I've been in Las Vegas. And the truth is, most people hate it.
Despise it.
Don't like it at all. Now, am I talking about a proctology exam? Oh, no. I find those fun and enjoyable. Those are fantastic. Best drugs in the world. It's good enough for Michael Jackson. Hell, it's good enough for me. But that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, what I'm talking about is, dun, 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 buying a car.
Tomahawk said no.
Yeah, nobody likes to do it. And come to find out, it gets a little wacky here in Canada. in Las Vegas. Las Vegas wacky in buying and selling cars. Well, God bless it is. Now, a couple interesting facts, or an interesting fact I will begin with. And then Wayne just had this experience over the last weekend. And so we're going to get in some of the details of what he had to go through. And I'm going to provide a couple stories, share guidance ideas when it comes to this. Because I actually really enjoy buying cars.
There's some gamesmanship there. It's a very us, you know, you versus them mentality.
It is.
And if you're anything like me, and that's the only reason I can stand to be in the same room with you.
Unlikely.
Is that I love more than anything else to win.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Raiders thing kind of let me down a little bit. But nonetheless, I really enjoy this. But most people absolutely hate it. Now, here's an interesting fact. Dealerships in Las Vegas who sell new cars cannot be open for business on Sundays.
State law.
That's right. It's called the Blue Law. And, and what's fascinating about it is, I know when I first moved here, I'm like, okay, let's go, you know, just kind of check the place out. It's 2005.
Sure.
It's a Sunday. Let's go look at some
weekend.
New cars. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, this is what people do on weekends,
that's
right?
That's when you're supposed to buy cars, is on the weekends. And we pull up to, I don't know, it was a Chevy thing or a Dodge thing or a, yeah, probably not one of those two pieces of shit cars, but likely a Buick. And they had a chain in front of the driveway. I'm like, what? They must be shut down for inventory. Or they go to the next place. I'm like, what?
Right. Everybody in Las Vegas, of all places.
Yeah, I know.
No last call. Right. The doors don't close on most of our bars, lounges, right, casinos. You've got supermarkets open 24 hours. You got banks open. And you can't spend hordes of money.
It's insane. And actually, it started off as a gentleman's agreement between all of the different dealerships, but in 2001 the Clark County Commission said, you know what, we're going to pass an ordinance prohibiting this. Now I feel like this might be a Mormon holdover a little bit, but I don't know that for sure. Now you can buy a used car on Sundays, like for instance CarMax. Yeah, you can buy there. But if you're looking for a brand new car, that's a no.
Okay. Or a used car sold by a new car dealer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So if it's a new car dealership, you no go on a Sunday. Now, Wayne, being the best husband in the world, he went out and fought the fight. He fought the dragons. He fought the
I did.
The dragons for his wife. Tell us, Wayne, first of all, what happened there? What's going on?
Well, as you said, you know, most people hate it. And I'll be honest, you know, when you start to think about it and you're doing the research, there's just so much out there on the internet. It becomes overwhelming because despite the fact that, you know, cars, manufacturers have kind of shrunk, you know, over the years, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Hummer, Saab, you know, all these brands that don't exist anymore,
right,
they're still just, it's almost overwhelming. So the first thing that you do is, you know, you narrow it down, you decide, okay, let's at least kind of decide what we want. We did that in two ways. The first, of course, is the internet.
Yep.
You spend all your free time, the Google machine and those different websites. You look at the pictures,
yep,
and the shiny, you know, the fancy videos on the YouTube, which I don't think it's going to last. But the second thing I would highly recommend is if you're in the market for a car, go check out an auto show. There are...
My God, this is the second person who has told me this today. Rosie the intern said her dad likes to go to auto shows.
They're fantastic.
I've never been to one of these.
So there's one in Las Vegas every year. Now, it's on Thanksgiving weekend. So if you got some downtime, it's great. Right. If you got to entertain people and take them to Harrah's and...
Get away from the family.
Right. Then, you know, you might have to try to fit it in. But Hannah and I actually made a little trip to the homeland there, Scott. We went to Orange County.
Oh, there you go.
And California.
Yep.
And they had the Orange County Auto Show. Let me tell you why an auto show is great.
Okay.
Because everything you hate about car buying but like about cars is there. Okay. And here's what I mean.
All right.
Cars, check.
Yep.
Salespeople, no check.
Check. X.
That box is left blank.
Okay.
It's just this giant convention space. All the cars are out on the floor and they're unlocked. They're open. You can sit in there, play with the seats, adjust the mirrors, look at your hair, you know, throw your kids in the back, make sure they fit, pop the trunk, you know, have your wife get in to see if in case things go south, you know, if you have to drive out to the desert one night and get rid of the body, make sure that it fits. It's fantastic because there's no salespeople.
Right.
So you can touch it, you can do whatever you want, and you don't get anyone coming up to you saying, so what's it going to take to get you here into this fancy little thing?
What? Now, can you drive them?
You can. So Las Vegas doesn't really do that. Las Vegas, for being a convention and trade show kind of mecca, I'm not going to lie, the auto show is a little below par when it comes to some of the other states. Mm. But out at Orange County, they had over 100 different cars you could drive.
Yeah.
Honda had a booth. Chevy had a booth. Toyota had a booth. Mazda had a booth. You just go right up. You say, hi, I'm Wayne. I'd like to drive this Honda Accord. And they say, okay, come back in 15 minutes. And you come back in 15 minutes, or you sit in a little waiting area.
It's like a fast pass for Disneyland.
Charge your cell phone, get yourself a cup of coffee.
Nice.
And it pulls right up, and a person gets out and says, here you go. And they sit in the passenger seat just to kind of make sure you don't, you know, make a run for Tijuana.
Now you're allowed to go faster than 20 miles an hour?
Yeah. You can go out. I think it was a road. They kept you on the roads around the convention center out there, so you could get up to like 40, 45.
Okay, right.
So
you had a general idea.
But you could, you know, get to touch the buttons and see it and get a feel for it. Again, no pressure, no salespeople, because this person is just a product rep making, I don't know, $15 an hour from some marketing company.
Right.
So they don't care if you like it or not, or you're wasting their time. They're there all day anyways.
Right.
So you
I'll
go
be here
there
all week.
Yeah. So you can see, you touch it, you drive it. So we had it narrowed down. Okay. We're either, you know, we're between Model A and Model B.
Are you going to tell us what the Model A and Model B is?
I'm not, but that's because I'm going to badmouth some of the dealers that sell that, and I don't want to crimp your future ad revenue.
Fuck them.
All right. So we were between a Kia and a Hyundai.
Yeah, I'm not going to those guys anyway. I'm going Jaguar.
Oh, you would in your country club ivory tower over here.
One of our shows has a Jaguar freaking advertiser.
Mm, well, there
pretty
you
good.
Go. Yeah. So we were between Hannah wants an SUV. She wants space and to do the soccer mom type of thing now without the minivan because we're that couple that will put our foot down. We're not doing the minivan.
Right. Good call on that, by the way.
Yeah. So she wanted the SUV. And I wanted to get her the safety stuff and the Apple CarPlay and the in-dash. By the way, that's not going to explode on us, is it? Your phone? Are we safe? Should we put that in a fireproof box for
right
now?
You know what's funny about that? That's so funny, but what that shows me is that your piece of shit phone doesn't have internet access. Otherwise, you would know that that phone is not a threat to you.
Oh, it's okay.
Right, but it's a goddamn shame your big iPhone couldn't get outside and go, what's the Google? You talk about Google, but apparently can't go out. Oh, that's pretty fun. Can't get out on the Google. All right, fucking iPhones. I actually have a nice thing to say about why I was going to say something nice about the new iPhone 7, but now, fuck it.
It doesn't blow up?
No, it's just, no, not going to talk about it now.
So anyways, so we had it narrowed down. She was going either Kia or Hyundai, mid to larger size SUV. We drove it. We enjoyed it. Now the fun starts. We get back to town, and now it's time to get down to brass tacks.
Okay, again, I got to write this down.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
So
who were the dealers?
The dealers or the models? Right now, so we're between a Kia and a Hyundai. We were.
Okay, right.
Okay. So what happens is I decided to. Was it starting? I see smoke. Was that? Oh, it was just buzzing.
You wouldn't know that.
Does it do that normally?
You wouldn't know that because okay. You really don't get on the internet on that little phone of yours.
So. So I decided to try something new. Typically, you go in the dealership, you get the next guy that, you know, runs out there because those poor guys are standing outside.
You know what that's called? An up.
Oh, yeah. The customer's an up. Right.
That's right.
So normally you go there, you know, someone runs up and asks how they can help you, what you're looking at before you can even get out of the car.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I've read about people using this method successfully. Let me try this. I'm going to email everyone first.
Okay.
So I went to Google, set up a completely, not bogus, but brand new email address just for this purpose, which I would recommend you do.
Yeah. iPhonesuck@gmail.com. Good one.
Right. That was taken, so I had to put a 2 at the end of it. But anyways,
iPhonesuck25,245@gmail.com.
So, can you board a plane with that? Or did they, because I know American was saying turn off all your Samsungs because they couldn't tell the difference.
Hey, everybody, do you hear that? That's a dead horse being beaten for no reason.
So you set up, I would recommend setting up just a one-shot email address that's just used for this one purpose.
Yeah.
So once I did that, I went to the different Hyundai and Kia dealers in town.
Now this is important because there's multiple dealers for and this is a big part of the negotiation play, by the way.
There is, but just wait until you find out what I found out.
Okay.
So I set up the email address.
Are they all owned by the same people?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
So spoiler alert.
That's funny. So
set up the email address and I email each one of them through their website and I say, hello. My wife and I are in the market for a Kia vehicle or a Hyundai vehicle. We specified the model, either a Santa Fe or a Sorento.
Right.
I'm emailing all the dealers in town.
Yep.
I'd like to know where you guys are at, selling price. Here's the model I want. Here's the features I want.
Yep.
And based on what your response is and where you're at, we'll determine who, you know, we decide to come in and deal with.
Yep.
So dangled a little lead carrot out there.
Yep.
So what is what's amazing I found first off is that we ended up emailing 6 dealers.
Wow.
Okay. 4 Hyundai dealers and 2 Kia dealers.
No kidding.
Because there's 4 Hyundai dealers in town.
Right.
There's 3 Kia dealers. The one that's closest to us just didn't have anything we were interested in. So right. I just skipped them. Now it's important to note here in town, there's really 3 places, 3 general areas in the valley to buy a car.
Yep.
You've got the Henderson Auto Mall down in Henderson on 95 and Galleria. You've got Sahara on West Sahara. You've got all the boys from BMW all the way down to just Honda and
down
everything.
The street here.
Yep. Jaguar. And then you've kind of got the Northwest area, the Centennial region.
Yep.
So those are your 3 kind of hubs, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we emailed every Hyundai dealer in town and 2 of the 3 Kia dealers in town.
Right.
Now, typically, I thought right away, like, okay, like, it's almost like I was signing up for, like, I felt like I was entering my email on, like, a... Like I was just saying, please spam me. Like all that you can and all that you have, please spam me.
Right.
As soon as I hit the send button. Some of them did. Right away, you got some automatically generated responses.
Thank you for your interest in Kia Centennial.
Correct.
We'll be right back with you. By the way, thanks for this. And we have a new thing. By the way, 60%.
Yeah.
60%. No
so
interest.
Of the 6 that I gave an active email address to and showed that I was an actual person, this wasn't, you know, just a generic blast or a robo email like they were doing.
I hate iPhones, not Gmail.
Of the 2. Of the 6, 4 responded. 2 never ever bothered to respond.
Okay.
So the 2...
66%?
I guess. But you would think, like, if someone, as a business owner, if someone inquired about Phase 5 membership, now open at VegasVideoCoop.com.
That's right.
If you can find out where to input promo code LILV, your session is free. At least your first one. So... So if someone emailed you, wouldn't you, as a business owner, even if you were busy, at least send some type of communication just to acknowledge them as a potential customer?
Yes, I would.
I mean, that would be, you know, at least basic sales, right?
I do a little bit more than that, but yes.
But you would, at bare minimum, contact them. Two of them were just like, screw it, we're out. Like, they didn't even get a response back.
Right, yeah.
One of the responses we got, after about an hour, some people, actual live people that can read and comprehend,
nice.
Although at varying levels of education, answered back.
We are number 50 in the States.
49, I think.
Well, so we're a little bit ahead of what, Mississippi?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. They don't have the Raiders, though.
Another win.
So, one of them then.
Mississippi is now smarter than Nevada because they don't have the Raiders. Congratulations, Mississippi. I have a lot more respect for you now.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
I used to live there.
Two didn't respond. Didn't know that. One responded about a completely different car.
Perfect.
That had nothing, didn't even read what I had sent them. So clearly they got mixed up.
Boop.
And then one of the Hyundai dealers said, you seem to know exactly what you want. When you get an offer at another dealership, let us know and we'll come over and we'll beat it.
Ain't that some bullshit?
So basically, like, we're not telling you anything.
Right.
So that was a waste.
Yep.
So
good that you decided that.
Exactly. So we were down to 2-2 on each side. So we started 2-2. Yeah, Chuck Lorre.
Chuck Lorre. There you go, buddy.
So we started before we even went to any of those places. Hannah's going to get rid of her car that she's got now.
Yep.
Now it's not that old. It was a 2014 Mazda. She just didn't like it anymore. Didn't fit her as we're expanding.
Right. Right.
And so. Took it there. We took it to CarMax because we wanted to see, worst case scenario, if they offered us $5 and a song for it at any of these dealerships.
Right.
Worst case scenario, you can go into CarMax. Takes about 30 minutes, and they will tell you just right away, without buying a car from them, this is what we'll pay you for it.
Was it this song? Yeah, probably not. Okay. Probably could have done better with that one. How about this one? Not for fuck's sake, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, I don't
know. Those are all good Chazathons.
Oh, okay. So we go in there and we get a price, and it's like, okay,
tell us a price?
It was $10,000 is what they offered us for her car.
Okay.
Yeah, it was worth a little bit more. I would say it was worth about 11 when you price it in the different online Kelley Blue Book.
Yeah, admins. But is that 11 wholesale or 11?
No, trade in value.
Okay.
Trade in value. All right. So we're like, okay, it was a little low. And I've sold two cars to CarMax prior and got what I thought was very good offers. I thought this was a little low.
Okay.
But guess what? Their business, that's their offer. Thanks a lot.
Good to know.
So in and out in 30 minutes, knowing, okay, we cannot do worse than $10,000 on her old car.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So the first two Hyundai places we went to.
Did you still owe on that car or is it paid off? It's 2014, right?
Yeah, well, she still owed on it.
Okay.
That's yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. But not as much as, we weren't, yeah.
Yep.
I'm a numbers guy, Scott. Come on. I don't do bad financial decisions.
Okay. That's why you're buying another new car in 2 years. Yeah. No, right. You don't do a new.
That's why I'm supporting the Raiders and I'm going to buy tickets when they move to town in 2.5 years.
Yeah. You don't do any bad financial. Let's buy a new fucking car every 2 years. Okay. There, Sparky. Keep telling me how you're the financial genius in the family.
I am. Okay. Yeah. These big VVN checks are going to roll in any day now, right? Royalties? I thought it was in my contract, residuals.
Maybe you should continue with your story.
Have you syndicated us yet?
Let's not talk about that. Okay. Well, kind of, if you think about it. Let's begin.
So we go to the first two Hyundai dealerships, and the deals, you know, were so-so. What I thought was, okay, well, I'm going to get down to two, and I'll pit them against each other.
Gotta boy.
Come to find out that doesn't really work because we went across town. So we went to a Hyundai dealer in Henderson.
Right.
Then we went to a Hyundai dealer all the way up in Centennial.
Couldn't be farther from each other.
Couldn't be further from each other. And both of them offered only $9,000 to $10,000 on her trade-in.
God.
So that wasn't going to fly. Mm-hmm. And the price, I thought, okay, you know, this is where I'm going to walk into these guys and be like, listen, I can go over there and get it, but I'm going to give you a chance. And then, you know, do that a couple times, see where we're at.
Yep.
So we're at the Centennial dealership. We'd already been to the Henderson one first. That was kind of our baseline. We go up to Centennial. I'm like, listen, this is where they were at, you know, on the trade-in. Would have liked to see a little bit more. This is where they were at on the new car. Would like to see a little bit less. So I'm going to need you guys to beat this, or else I'm going to have to go back there. And you know what they said to me?
What?
The guy looks at me and says, okay, let me go ahead and pull that up because we own that store too.
Boom! That kind of fucks up your whole...
So I said, oh, okay, great. Now, thankfully, I was 98.5% truthful with him. So there wasn't... it wasn't like I had completely made the situation up, but I know that. So we ended up not coming to a deal. I go home. I do, again, a little Google searching on the Google machine.
Right.
Come to find out, yeah, gosh, the Henderson store and the Centennial store are owned by the same person.
Yep.
Well, let me dig a little bit further. Wait a minute. The Hyundai store over on Centennial, that's owned by the same guy too.
So that one guy owns all of them?
Okay. Well, they just opened a Hyundai dealership over on 215 and Buffalo.
Wow.
Let me look that one up. That one's owned by the same company.
So they're all owned by the same
company. How about that?
Oh, that's...
They're all owned by the same guy.
Wow.
Who, and you can do your own Google searching, also owns a whorehouse in Nye County.
Nothing wrong with that. Don't you?
And either him or his father, I stopped Googling, has connections to the Colombo crime family.
Hey.
Yeah.
Maybe you should step away from those guys.
So I kind of did.
Good boy.
So I said, let's go look at the Kias, hon.
Kias feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to have my kneecaps broken at the next place.
Yeah. Why don't you come into the back room, Mr. Growl? We'll go ahead and talk to you a little bit about your deal. Crack, crack, crack. Ow.
Yeah. I have to enter the witness protection program with my new Hyundai Santa Fe.
How does this car look? Excellent.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. It's fantastic. Thank you.
What I had done before that, because it was going to be Hannah's car. So the detail I had left out is when I actually went to the places, I went by myself. And I did that intentionally because it was going to be her car.
Yep.
So I was going to negotiate the deal and work everything out.
Yep.
And then so that, because if you go on Yelp, you read reviews about how people have to call the police to get their keys, or they block them in, or just these old school, just shady tactics. Wow. And I'm like, listen, here's how I'm going to avoid that. And the whole back and forth, let me get my manager. And then, you know, you're sitting there forever because they're going to let me go because no one who's signing for the car is here right now anyways.
Right.
So I thought, okay, that's how I'm going to shield myself a little bit. And it worked to an extent. So we go to the first Kia dealership. I won't say its name, but let's just say it rhymes with Kindly Fia.
Got it.
And I go there and I say, listen, here's what's going on. I already talked to your internet people because that's its own department.
Yep.
It's called BDC in car terms, Business Development Center.
Okay.
So if you call a place or you email them, you don't get an actual salesperson. You get a trained lead generator person where that's all they do.
Yep.
So I say, listen, you know, this is where I'd like to be. I've already talked to your people. We're kind of close. I need you to look at this car over here. Let me know what you can do. Then, you know, if we get good on everything, I'll bring the wife in. We sign, we drive, we're out. Everyone's happy.
Life is good.
So I'm there for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. They look at her car. We pick a new car. We're running some numbers. And I said, you know what? So this was my ploy to get them to knock a little bit more off. Hannah wanted a certain color combination that was a little on the more rare side.
Black and silver.
that was close. that's what I would have gotten. Actually, that's what I did get if you see my Honda out there. I didn't even know before they offered to move here I was already joining the nation.
Just go.
And so they didn't have this more obscure color combination. So I said, gosh, you know, these are the colors she really kind of wanted. You've really just got black as far as the seats or something, the interior goes.
All right.
Because I wanted them to say, okay, listen, because I was trying to paint the case. I don't really love this one. But if you took off a little bit more, I might learn to live
with it. I'll convince the wife.
So their response, which I was like, okay, is we'll go get the other one for you.
No.
I said, Okay, well, you called me on that one.
Yeah.
So, so why don't we go ahead and let's do that then.
Okay.
So we came to terms on the price and the options and everything. This is what her monthly payment's going to be for this many months with this much, you know, down, et cetera, and so forth.
Interest rate. Exactly.
So they said, okay, so what you do, and when you come back with her, as soon as you get here, we'll go get the other one. We'll get everything filled out. You'll be on your way. I said, great. We shook hands, and I said, so we're at this amount of money out, like sign and drive. So this, and they said, yep, absolutely. So I said, okay. They gave me a business card. I wrote that number on the business card.
Yep.
Go home. It was late. So I said, oh, you know what? I'll bring Hannah back the next day. So the next day, before I bring Hannah back, call the salesman back up. Hey, buddy, how we doing? This is Wayne from the deal last night. Wanted to make sure this is where we're still at. Yep, absolutely. So I thought, okay, let me test him a little bit. Okay, so you know what? What if we change the term to this and we put we change the money down? Okay, Mr. Krell, this would it would turn out to this.
Yep.
Okay, let me. What if we do this? Yes, Mr. Krell. Okay, I have that it would come out to this. Yeah, so I checked the numbers frontwards and backwards, right?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, that sounds good. We're going to end up doing one of those three. Talk it over with the wife. I'll bring her in tonight. Great. As soon as you get here, I'll go up there. We'll get the other one, and then we'll have everything. You guys can sign the paperwork while we're washing it. You'll be on your way.
Right.
So that night I leave work, go home, grab the wife, say we're all set. Is that Craig calling again?
That's the Kia place saying, that's not true, he's lying.
Right. So I go home, grab the wife, bring her back. We've got, our son with us now. And so we've got the portable DVD player. He's got his video games because he's all said this is going to take some time. It's going to be boring. So we get back there. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock. They're like, yeah, come on in. Have a seat right here. So we sit down. We're all ready to start putting pen to paper. And so here comes the closer. Not the salesman. Here comes the closer. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is interesting. Okay, maybe this is just how they just do business. Maybe the closer is the one that, you know, closes the deals. Maybe he's the one that...
Better penmanship.
Exactly, right? A little bit more trustworthy. I don't know, more seniority.
Oh, yeah.
So the closer comes out, and he says, okay, we're all set to go. There's just one thing. We got some bad news. The car we were going to go get for you with that unique color combination... It's not there anymore.
Oh, they sold it.
They sold it.
Those bastards.
Yeah. So they said, but you know what? We've got the ones that you didn't, the color combination you didn't want. Let's go. You know, has your wife seen it yet?
Did you ask, when did that car get sold? When did you know it was sold?
I didn't. At this point, I didn't because I got the wife with me now.
I'd be like, over that shit.
So I said, okay, you know what? Because I've already wasted, we sat in traffic, took us an hour to get there from Henderson. I was like, okay, not going to flush this just yet.
Yeah.
Let's see where this goes. So I take Hannah out. We show her the one that with the other the darker color combination, and Hannah's like, "Yeah, this will be fine. I don't, you know, I was being picky before, so okay, so great. We'll switch it to that one. Same price, right? We're all good on, you know, because it's the same sticker price. Yep, absolutely. So we go back inside. Here comes Mr. Closer again with the piece of paper. He says, okay, this is where we're at. I said, well, that seems like it's gotten a little bit higher since we last talked.
Mm.
Well, yes, because what we do is we have the I think they called it pro package or some type of package. So for $500, I got the windows tinted.
What?
Yeah. And nitrogen in the tires.
Oh, nitrogen.
Just for $500. And so, exactly, that sound's going through my head.
Yeah.
So I said, listen here, the guy's name was Joe. I said, Joe.
Yes,
Joe. First off, the windows already come tinted from the factory.
Yeah.
Oh. So, you know, maybe you guys did it, maybe you didn't. Oh, we absolutely did it. Okay.
Fine.
Second point, Joe, the air we're breathing right now has 70% nitrogen in it. And you know what he says to me? Realizing that, okay, all right, I got one with a couple of brain cells on the hook here.
This guy's got a
triple
IQ.
No, actually, it's 82%.
Oh, so he was, that was such a dumb move.
I said, okay, well, even better, Joe. So not really going to pay $500 for your tint and your nitrogen.
Right.
Not to worry. You know what? Hold on one second. I can take care of this.
Yeah.
Walks back over to the sales desk, comes back. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it, crosses it out,
boom,
writes down $200, says, I'm going to give it to you at my cost.
What a nice guy.
Fantastic.
Nitrogen cost him $200, or hydrogen. Nitrogen,
yes.
Nitrogen.
And windows that were already pre-tinted.
Nice.
So I thought, oh, man. So he then I don't know if he saw the plane already cascading into the side of the mountain or what, but then he decides to really go for broke. And so he then says to me, and also that number, which was higher than we had already agreed upon before, that number, I didn't include tax in there.
Oh.
So there's going to be tax.
That doesn't sound.
So that's going to increase at about $25 to $30 a month,
yeah,
which was about 10% of where we were to begin with.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. I said, Joe,
you
shook my hand. You quoted me a number. I went back and forth with your sales guy here on the number today to verify it. Now you're going to tell me that number was wrong? So then he says to me, the most car salesman-y thing ever, well, of course that didn't include tax because Kia doesn't know where you live. And so I said, Joe. And he starts trying to talk again. And I just keep saying, Joe. And I reached my hand. I said, you're smarter than this. I said, this is where we were at.
Yep.
This is where I confirmed today. So I'm not going over this. I said, so we can either do this right now, or I'm going to shake your hand and we're going to go to dinner.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, go to dinner.
Oh, nice.
So I said, thank you very much. Good. Shame on, fool me once, shame on you. I should have, I guess, asked if the final numbers, you know, included everything.
Tax, right.
Which they did. Because when you work it out, you go online to any financial calculator, it came out. So I thought, you greedy SOBs.
Yep.
So as we're leaving Kindley Fia, the closer, Joe, yells back to the manager sitting behind the sales tower desk, he's only at this amount. And the guy then yells back as we're walking out the door, then tell them to pick a cheaper vehicle. And I thought to my, I thought to myself, well, that was unnecessary.
Wow.
So we won't be back here ever. So pack Hannah and the kid back up in the car.
Jeez.
Drive home, get some ice cream. Cause you don't want to, I think we actually stopped at IKEA also, to get the ice cream because you don't want to end the day on a low note like that.
A little bit of little Swedish mushroom.
So, that was very disappointing. So the next day, contact the Kia dealership over on the Centennial side of town. And they say,
not owned by the same people.
Not owned, thankfully, by the same people.
Yeah.
And go up there, say, listen, this is where I was at with the other guys. You guys could do better than that. I walked out because they tried to rip me off on 82% nitrogen and window tint.
Right.
And so they said, oh, absolutely. We're not going to lose a deal to, Kindley Fia.
Right.
So we're actually going to, we'll absolutely get this taken care of. So three trips back and forth later from the salesman back to me.
Oh.
They were at least $20 higher than the deal at Kindley Fia was when they were trying to rip me off with the extra fees.
What the fuck?
So I said, well, that's not very competitive. Well, but let me tell you about all the great service that we have here. When you buy a car from, and he goes into total car salesman mode. Now, I wanted to like this guy because this guy was interesting. I had asked for him specifically, despite having never been there before, I went on Yelp and several people had recommended this guy.
Okay.
He is an interesting guy. He is actually a Johnny Cash impersonator.
Well, why not?
So, he's got a website and a band. He does voiceovers. He seemed to be like in the media, you know, type thing. I was like, well, this guy seems interesting. So, we'll give it a shot, right?
I don't know when.
It's better than the 22-year-old that didn't want to go to college. So, he, you know, graduated 49th education, high school diploma in the country, and it's selling cars now.
There you go.
So, the guy was pleasant. He was very nice. He was interesting, but we just didn't get there. So I left again, dejected.
Jesus Christ.
Only to then get an email, or excuse me, a text message the next day from the aptly mentioned, as I mentioned before, department, BDC, the lead generation people.
Yeah.
Hi, this is so-and-so. I'm the assistant general sales manager, and I'm talking to the general manager any minute now. I'm going to go in.
This is the second Kia.
This is the second one.
Okay. Johnny Cash Kia.
I'm getting ready to speak to the general manager any minute, and we're not that far away. I wanted to know where we needed to be.
Yeah.
To which I responded, "We needed to be where I told your first guy we needed to be."
Right.
And that was pretty much that. Well, then the first place, known as, you know, Kindly Fia, decided to do a mea culpa and had the salesperson call me. Oh, so sorry about how that happened yesterday. You know, I was talking to my sales manager and he feels bad about it. We were here. You were there. What if we met in the middle? And I didn't even give him, left a voicemail. I didn't answer his call. I didn't even bother waste my time calling him back. I fired off just a string of text messages about how, you know, you did this, you did that, you did that. And amazingly, when we went to Johnny Cash Kia, oh my gosh, the car that was gone in the funny color combination. It's still there. Only is it there, they had two of them.
Wow.
So I just was...
Isn't that interesting?
Just beyond... And I said to the sales guy at the first place, I said, listen, I'd like to think you're a nice guy, but you either lied to me directly or you were told to lie to me. So I just listed off, just went off on
him. 0-2.
Yeah. That not only would I not even think of entertaining their offer, I wouldn't even entertain their offer anymore at the first, you know, where we agreed we were.
Right. Did you end up buying a fucking car?
Did. So they went and talked the assistant general sales manager, which is ironic because when I had emailed her several days ago, she was the internet manager.
Like Carl Perkins or I mean,
just this rotating. I mean, it was so car salesman-y how they just call yourself because they don't want to call themselves the lead department or the BDC department. So they one day this person was the internet sales manager. The next day they're the assistant general manager. It didn't matter.
So
at the end of the day, we got to where I was comfortable, a little bit higher than we were at the, Kindly Fia.
Right.
But where it was acceptable, because after a while, you got to factor in your time and you're running back and forth and just your aggravation.
Yep.
So you're like, you know what? I'm not going to be cheap about this. Because what I was going to do, what several people had recommended to me and what I might recommend to people in the chat, everyone that I had talked to at work said, you know what you do if you want to buy a car? Go to California. They said the prices are cheaper, and I looked it up. They actually are, in the sense that one thing I picked up through my trials and tribulations is if you buy a car in California, instantly you're going to pay $400 less than Nevada because of a little thing called doc fee or document fee. And that is supposed to be the fee for the paperwork and have the finance guy sign it. In California, that fee is capped by state law at $80. In Nevada, there's no cap. Everywhere around town charges $499 for their to file the documents.
Yeah, interesting.
So
you have a new car.
We have a new car.
Wife's happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, a couple of things. So I've bought two cars here, my car, and then I bought Melissa's recent car, the Acura. Let me just tell you what you need to do from my perspective, because I have had nothing but wonderful experiences buying cars here, but I came in with, you know, both barrels loaded, knowing exactly what I was going to do. So first thing I did, I always go to Edmunds first, because these car dealers have either deals going back to them, kickbacks going to them, or they have deals for the consumer. So you need to know what that is, because that gives you a sense for their real pricing. And then, yeah, and you can also get real invoice pricing. So when I approach one of these guys, I know what their price is. I know what their kickbacks are. I know what my deal is. So I know really what the cost is. And I also, so then I think to myself, okay, how much profit do I think is reasonable for a car dealer? And usually I'm at about 2%. 2 or 3% is what I'll say you can make on that car. So the person you call, I never go in cold. I'm never an up. The person you call is the internet or the fleet manager. Oftentimes they're the same people. And these guys have typically have autonomous capabilities of making deals. They don't have to go to their manager. So I call ahead of time and go, okay, I'm looking at this car, the Acura, blah, 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 the RDX. I'm going to spend this much money. This is a best and final offer. I'm going to buy a car today. I always say that. I'm going to go to your dealership, and I'm going to go to the other guys. I will buy a car today. I don't know who I'm buying it from. You know, whoever makes this easy and painless, I'm going to go. Oh, yeah, come on in. So we went in there. This is for Melissa's car. We drove the MDX and the RDX. MDX was too big of a car. And I said, okay, here's what I'm offering. And I will tell you, it was the best car buying experience I've ever had. If you're in the market for an Acura, at any level, you've got to go to this Acura dealer over on Sahara. They just got the ownership just changed, but the guy who we bought from the fleet dealer, he's called us probably every 6 months just to see is everything okay, car okay, yeah. Anything you need from me? Nope.
Great. Well, he's looking to do some lead generation too.
Well, maybe, but it doesn't matter because he's not looking for lead generation. He's just like, hey, is the car okay? Yeah. Nope. Good. Great. So. You've got to let them know that you're buying today. The other thing that's smart to do is go in there at the end of the month, if possible, and even better, go into the end of the quarter. Because these guys close most business. It's a hockey stick business. So their business is going like this, and they get at the end of the month, and it goes up, and it gets to the end of the quarter, and it goes up, because they're just fucking making deals because they're trying to make their numbers. So you have, as a consumer, much more leverage if you come in at the end of the month or the end of the quarter, because they're just trying to fucking move hardware. But I'll tell you, most people really don't like doing this, and I love doing this.
It's fun until, you know, your soul gets crushed a little bit.
But see, I don't let it happen. And that's the other thing. Like when I talk to Melissa hates it. She doesn't want anything to do with it. But I brought her in at the first time because we're going to go in. We're going to look at the car. I told you the deal. Either we're going to make the deal or we're not. But what I told Melissa and what I would tell anybody I was going with is you have to be willing to walk away.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, like right fucking now, I don't spend more than an hour at any dealership for any fucking deal. If I can't close it in an hour, then there's something wrong with the deal and I'm getting out. So we're in. This is the best and final offer. I'm not going back and forth. I don't play that. Whoever gives me the best deal clearly wanted my business, and that's the way it goes. And it creates a really aggressive environment from the fleet people or the internet people, depending on what they're called. Highly recommend that way of doing business with these guys. All right. Any last comments before we go?
Do your homework. Don't be like the person next to me. When I was sitting at Johnny Cash Kia, person next to me sat down. I could overhear a conversation with the salesperson. She literally says, yeah, I got a letter in the mail that I was pre-approved. And he goes, okay, what kind of car are you interested in? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought I'd look around.
Perfect. Yeah.
And don't be that person.
And know the price. It's not about the payments. It's about the interest rate. That's the other thing. So today, you know, you can get, well, we got 0% interest on, I think, on Melissa's car, but, you know, 0%, 0.9%, that shit's fucking everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if they come to you and say, you know, let's look about your payments, and that's happened to me. I'm like, you don't understand, Bill. This is not about payments. It's about how much the car costs. I don't give a fuck how much the payments are. I want to know how much am I paying for the car. And actually, I do know. I'm willing to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a go or no go. It's a best final offer. Let's decide to make this happen or not. You know, and usually all the bullshit just falls away. Okay, let's fuck.
Sometimes, but I felt, and like you said, you wouldn't, you know, you're not typically preferential of the manufacturers I was looking at. I don't live in an ivory tower. I have to be able to afford things on a regular working man's
salary. This 99% thing, does it get old after a while?
However,
for us 1%?
No, it never gets old for you 1%. Because it's staying out of Harry's until 4 in the morning when you're in the 1% crowd.
Well, I'll talk about that. And that was a mistake, ladies and gentlemen.
But it just feels sometimes, especially when you find out that one guy owns all four dealerships, that they're kind of there's some collusion going on.
Well, so now that, actually, you bring up a good point there. I can't negotiate against that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is collusion. And although probably not legally collusion. Well, it might be. But yeah, you can't, if they're all playing the same game, then you can't play one against the other.
Exactly.
Now, I haven't had that happen. I bought a Buick. That wasn't a problem. We bought an Acura. That wasn't a problem. But yeah, no, you're right there. I mean, if I would try not to be in that position, but you know, if you're looking at a car and four, but fucking four dealers all owned by the same guy,
yep.
That's pretty creepy. All right, let's read some email. Here, you do the scream. Wow. I'm not going to fix that until you get better at that. That's just the way that's going to be. All right. This is part of the show where we get emails from people at onairq@livinginlv.com. You can onairq@livinginlv.com. And if it's a female, Wayne will read it. And if it's a male, I'll read it. But we only got one we're going to do today. And we're going to let Wayne read it from James Dean.
James Dean, not to be confused with Johnny Cash.
James Dean.
James Dean says,
yes.
Scott,
yes.
Do casinos buy slots or lease them? Or do slot makers pay to have them in casinos? If so, any idea what the pay splits are between the casinos and the slot makers? Do you know this one?
It's a real good question, actually. Yeah, I do. I don't know the exact... Nobody knows... Well, somebody does. Okay, so first of all, to answer your questions in order, do any casinos buy the slots machines outright? They absolutely do.
Yep.
It depends on the game, and it depends on the style of game. So if it's... For instance, if it's a progressive... They're almost never bought outright.
Nope.
They're leased. And the reason is because the casino actually doesn't pay the payoff. It's the game maker. So if you're on Wheel of Fortune, holy shit, I won $1 million. I'm at MGM. Ah, fuck you, MGM.
Megabucks, that's the one everyone knows.
Yeah, MGM, you're going to pay me $1 million. MGM's like, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
IGT's paying you $1 million. As a matter of fact, IGT and all these guys have a team. The big check team.
Yep.
And so when a big check comes, they wake the person up. These are usually retired folks. And you know, they're like, okay, get a big check and write $1 million and head on over to Red Rock, because Jimmy over in Red Rock write himself $1 million. And so that's how that works. So it depends on the business of the game. So again, if they can be just bought outright, which means they keep all of the money. Yep.
Typically the branded ones. Anything with a theme, such as your Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Sex in the City, Walking Dead, anything that's a licensed brand, those machines typically are leased. Mm-hmm. Anything that's, you know, Flaming Chili Peppers, Doubling Dollars, anything that's more generic is typically owned.
Right. And then the same thing, you'll notice that there's, if you walk into, I don't know, Safeway, you'll see games there. You walk into Vons or whatever, you'll see that little dark, very depressing area.
Well, that's all video poker.
That is video poker, which is all IGT games.
Yep.
And actually what happens there, it's not IGT who runs that deal. It's a small... I'm not sure what you would call them.
They're slot route operators.
Yeah, there you go. Slot route. And so those are the people who basically say, we're going to put them in there, you don't pay for the games, and we're going to do a rev show. Now, I don't know what the rev share of these games
are. Well, some of in the small places, sometimes they just rent the square footage. Like in the grocery store or, for example, Kmart.
Oh, so they
just renting that square footage.
And then they keep all of the money.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
it depends. Not all of them.
Okay.
But at some of the, I know Kmart specifically.
Okay.
That they're just renting, the Dottie's is renting the square footage.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Dottie's is doing that?
Yeah, at the Kmart.
Oh, okay. Not Dottie's is at Kmart?
Yeah.
Dottie's is a standalone small casino.
Mm-hmm. They also run the slot routes in Kmart.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have a license then to do
big.
It. I
mean. Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, it just depends.
Another one's Golden Gaming. Same people that do the PTs and the Sierra Golds in town. They're a big slot route operator.
Yeah.
United Coin is a big one. They're probably the biggest in town.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of money in that business if you figure it out.
But typically, in an average casino, I mean, just look around and look at the percentage of generic games to licensed games. Yeah. That's going to tell you which ones are leased and which ones are.
Yeah.
Are.
And most of the games now are the owned. More branded games as they're becoming hotter and hotter. And I, you know, when I showed you guys at G2E last a couple of weeks ago, you know, the games that had the biggest juice were. Many of them were the licensed games, you know, the Sex of the City types of things.
Casinos like those because something breaks on it. It's so big and complex. Something breaks, call up the vendor.
Yeah, it is good.
Now, granted, you're getting a small, much smaller piece of the pie, and it's taking up a lot of your floor space that you could do other things with.
Yeah, but it's a cash flow issue, right? So, I mean, you know, a lot of these casinos here, especially on the Strip, are still struggling financially. They're half of them are in $8 billion of debt, and they're like, we would really like not to put out any more capital outlay.
Mm-hmm.
We would like for you just to place those things, and then we'll do a revenue share. So it's cash positive from the minute it starts, as opposed to investing in the games. But again, it's dependent upon the game and the business
and the
model
casino.
That's right. And the business model for the casino.
Off Strip and Strip are two completely different animals.
Yep, I agree with that. And it's probably more.
It's more on the Strip.
More of the
Strip, Strip had, because people come in from Poughkeepsie and they, oh, I love Wayne Brady, I'm going to play Let's Make a Deal, it's more glitzy,
there's
Britney
newer,
Spears,
yeah,
you know,
newer
who
games.
Wants to play Britney Spears more, where's the target audience, on the Strip where you're drinking yard-long margaritas,
right.
Or over an Anthem at the Rampart?
Right, that's a good point. Okay, RQS, real quick stories, first of all, we would love for you to send in an intro video like Ray did last week, and Stuart has done many times. What I want you to do is take the camera of your phone and go into landscape mode and just say something like, hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois. Now, just a heads up, I'm not asking you to say Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois. I would like you to put your name in there and your city in there. I'm just giving you an example. And then you can say you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. You can say something funny or pithy or anything you like, because we love you. Okay?
We do. We love you so much that actually, if you're going to film it on a Samsung Galaxy 7, put it in the fireproof box and send it back. That puppy's recalled.
The truth is, you can't do it anymore. No one let you watch. They won't even let you walk outside with it. Hit him! Psh, psh. All right. Raiders Stadium. We're only going to talk about this for 5 seconds because it's fucked up.
I'm sorry, Scott, that as a one percenter, you're against job growth and economic diversity.
Yeah, you just talk now. We'll see how it goes. It's never gone well for anybody, but we'll see. Okay, go ahead. I'll give you a little logo shot. There you go. There it is. That's right. That's nice. All right. So I mentioned this last week. The Senate voted 16-5, proving that there are 5 smart people in the Senate in Nevada. To pass a deal. And then the Assembly voted after that. They voted 28-13, proving there are 9
those are super majorities, Scott. That's what they needed, super majorities.
60% is what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's interesting.
It was super majority.
66%.
So it's 66.
Yeah, you're right. Is that right? 60 or 66?
Super majority. I thought it was 66.
I thought it was 60. But it's, you know, it's a majority. They're not fiddle-fucking around. Which just means one thing, can't wait till the next election cycle, because the last two times this happened, the last two times there were special sessions in Nevada.
Which were for Tesla and Faraday Future.
No, okay. Every time that happened, the people who voted for those things were voted out of office the next time they had the opportunity to be voted off the island, off the office. So guess what? I will vote.
Tribe has spoken.
If my guys, if my person in my district voted for this guy or gal, I forget who it was now.
See, that's the quintessential. Well, you don't even know who it is.
Listen to me. I'm busy for fuck's sake. I emailed
them. So are lots of people.
I emailed them.
Did you? Know?
You're goddamn right I did. Because I was pissed off about this. Because it's not a good deal.
Okay.
So I emailed him and said, look, these are the parameters. Actually, I asked the question, would you do this? The one person who wrote back, woman, actually, she said, no. I agree, this is a bad deal. So, you know, smart minds do rise above the gravy here in Las Vegas. Anyways. But here's the interesting thing. The NFL does not vote on this until mid-2017.
It's January.
I just read it today, mid-2017.
No, it's January. Well, they're going to vote at the Super Bowl meeting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why did it say that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe if you quit reading...
it was the Review Journal. The Review. You Journal, who's fucking blowing the NFL. Yeah, yeah, that's they're fucking fantastic. They're
meeting right now. Mark Davis will be updating the owners tomorrow on the deal that got passed here in Nevada.
I need to get a haircut sound effect.
And how Steve Wynn and the governor and Sheldon Adelson. It's great to have the business community on board for that.
Yeah.
As well as the labor unions were strongly behind it.
Yeah.
So he's going to update.
Because when you think labor unions, think cost savings and smart money.
He's
movement.
Going to
not
update
a smart fucking labor union the, in the old world.
He's going to update the owners, and then they'll file for relocation, officially take a vote in January at the owners' meeting for the Super Bowl.
Well, I guess how about that? The Review Journal was wrong again on their reporting.
I mean, you're so busy looking for hit pieces happens. That you can share on your Facebook page, Scott.
They require 3/4 of a majority to have this thing pass.
And that will happen as well,
yes,
without
I'm
problem.
Sure it will. So that's fantastic. Okay, let's move on to happier times. Yesterday, I decided to go to Harrah's to prove to myself that I am every bit my age. So Melissa's got a friend who she's known since they were 5 days old.
Wow.
That's right. And her friend was from Effingham, Illinois. And she was here for a trade show, and we decided, well, let's show her a good time, because when you think Whitney's, you think good times. Now, this friend, Nancy.
And people against economic diversity.
Yeah, that's
stimulus.
Me. I'm Mr. Against making money. This friend, Nancy, sweet girl, by the way, she decided to stay at the Harrah's. And you know what's interesting about Harrah's? I don't really go to Harrah's. As it's one of those properties that you kind of don't really think about.
Yeah, you seem like more of a Wynn person.
I am
me.
A bit of a Wynn person, mm-hmm. Probably because he was smart enough not to invest in the fucking thing. So he's
oh, but
smart.
He spoke up for it.
Of course he did. Because
he was
he's
at the
not
signing.
Investing in it. And that's
he was
why.
At the signing yesterday.
Yeah, of course
or
he
Monday.
Was because he's like, people will be staying here hopefully, and I'm not out a fucking penny. Yeah, yeah, he's really behind it. All right. So we go. So a couple things about Harrah's. First of all, if I had a hallelujah thing, I would play it because Caesar's Property owns Harrah's, which means mm-hmm. when I go in the valet, what's it cost me?
Nothing.
Nothing. God bless their little hearts. So I went.
No, to be fair, it doesn't cost you anything at MGM yet either.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Valet parking. $14.
Oh, the valet.
Yeah.
The rest of us self-park, Scott. We're not too hoity-toity to walk to an
before.
Elevator.
You fucking tweaky little bastard, you. Yeah, so anyways, I pull up to valet. I'm like, now, they have a little sign that says, valet parking is a courtesy of our guests. So I'm like, okay, I may have to do the handshake, the $5 handshake. Didn't even have to do that. Hi, what's your name? Whitney. Do you need any directions? Nope. I think we're all set. Let's go. So that was awesome. Then we headed over to Toby Keith's I Love This Bar. It's another one of those places I don't spend a lot of time in. But I'll tell you what, this is a Monday. We were there at about 6 o'clock, and it was...
P.M. or A.M.?
P.M. Felt like I didn't leave there till A.M., but it was packed. And this is a pretty neat bar. They've got the TVs all over the place, right? They got the big screen TVs, and they had the National League playoffs, and they had the NFL thing playing. But they also have a live band. I'm not sure if you can see it in that shot, but they're in the back setting up in that red curtain back there. So, I mean, this thing was happening. And you know what they do when they pour you a drink? It's a big boy drink. You actually might be able to see, the gin and tonic down by Melissa's elbow. You know, a reasonable size drink, very strong, I can attest to, in a plastic glass, which means you could just walk out of there if you wanted. So that was fantastic. So we met there, had a drink or two, and decided, okay, let's go to Guy Fieri's Vegas Kitchen and Bar.
Oh, boy.
So now, I've never eaten there before, I don't think. But they're supposed to have very good burgers, and it's supposed to be good food. And guys,
donkey sauce.
And donkey sauce, whatever the hell
that is. I don't know either. I'm just
holy Christ. And so we go in there, and it's packed. And there's a line. I'm walking by. I'm like, oh, man. So we actually made reservations at the Tilted Kilt through Open Table just in case we needed a backup. So we go in there, and I'm like, hi there. I'm Scott Whitney with the Vegas Video Network. Gave her a card. And said, we're looking to do a review if it wouldn't be too much trouble. She's like, oh, okay. She looks at my car and goes, okay, and where are you going to be needing video? Oh, no. We're going to do a little bit. It's mostly going to be shot. I don't need anybody on screen, no interviews. We're just going to review. And when is this going to happen? Tomorrow, probably, we're going to be doing that. Oh, yeah, okay, just hold on. So she goes, well, let's go to the bar. We'll come and get you. I'm like, great, we'll go to the bar, spend 25 minutes, 30 minutes, because it's going to be a wait. And we go order the drink, and I'm like, I know what I'll do with that $5 that I was going to give to the valet guy. Put it in my hand, went back up to the hostess and goes, oh, just wanted to let you know. Thanks for taking care of us.
Did you completely stiff the valet?
No, of course. I paid him.
Because that's what it kind of you were giving the impression.
No, I didn't pay him up front. I always pay him on the way out.
Yeah, okay.
So I gave her the handshake, the $5 handshake, and, you know, we ordered our drinks. 4 minutes later, Mr. Whitney, your table is ready. Boom, God damn it, that was fantastic. All right, so I asked to sit outside, which is, it was such a nice night last night. Mm-hmm. So there's your buddy Scott sitting on the outside, and that's the view I had right there. So we could look right at the Carnival Court. Beautiful night. So the manager comes out, not surprisingly. Oh, hi, I'm, you know, whatever. And you're going to be doing, do you need video? No. I said, here's what I want to know. You know, what are the things that are visually interesting? I would like for them to be good too. But, you know, what can I visually look at that would be? He goes, oh, you should try this and you should try that. Okay, sounds good. So the thing about going to Vegas, especially for tourists, I think, but when you're on the Strip, these food places are entertainment places as well. And you're paying more. You're paying $20 for a fucking hamburger at a minimum.
There's some ambiance in there.
So you want ambiance. You want a display. You want something that looks good. Here's the display for the hamburger that Nancy did. It was gorgeous. Little rack for the French fries.
Crinkle cut.
Exactly. You've got the hamburger that's, I don't know, what, about a foot and a half tall?
Yeah.
It's neat. It looks like what you might see in the commercial. And come to find out, it was fantastic as well. I'm like, okay. And he recommended that I get the trash can brisket nachos.
Yummy.
Sounds great.
Sounds appetizing.
He goes, you know, this is something that you're going to want to take pictures of, maybe even a video when it comes out. I'm like, these are nachos. What the fuck? How important can this be? Come to find out, he was right. So what they do is they bring out it's a trash can, basically. It looks like a
flower pot or
yeah,
watering
can almost? Yeah, it looks like one of those pots that you use to do flour and cooking. Mm. It's about the size of a coffee can,
okay,
but a little taller. And so all of the nacho stuff is inside that can, as you can see. And here's another picture of it. I'm like, well, that seems like a hard way to eat nachos.
It does.
I don't get it. So they bring it out like this. And then if you notice, he's got a handle and he starts to lift it up and boink.
Oh,
look at that.
That's creative.
Isn't that clever? So they lift up this can, and then the nachos just...
Doesn't have a bottom for those people that are listening to us in their car.
Yeah, they're lifting up the can and going, okay, now what? No, the can, right.
Open up.
It's a bottomless can. So they lift it up, and then the nachos just kind of spill out nice and a nice little pile right onto the plate. I'm like, well, that was pretty good. Now, this is a brisket nacho as opposed to the traditional Mexican nacho. There is a difference. The meat there had that kind of a barbecue sauce. I'm not a big fan of that in the nacho. I'm a purist. Mm. You know, give me a nacho. Give me cheese. Give me, you know, taco meat, that kind of stuff. Mm. Some guac, some sour cream. That's what I'm about. So the flavor was, if you like brisket, the brisket was good. But I couldn't get my head wrapped around a brisket on a nacho. So that part I didn't care about. But the idea behind it was, well, oh, and I talked about guys. So our waiter was named Scott. Liked him already.
Mm.
And I'm like, so... have you met Guy Fieri? Because yeah, I said, he's kind of a douchebag. Because, you know, he's got a reputation as being like that. He's like, no, the guy is super nice. I mean, what do you mean he's super nice? He's like, he's in here all the time. I'm like, really? That almost never happens with celebrity chefs. Yeah, he's in here all the time, and he helps bring out the food. If we're busy, he'll bring out food to the... I'm like, has he done that for you? He goes, yeah. And I said, look, is his hair real? He's like, yeah, no. I'm like, wow. This is fantastic. So, two thumbs up.
All right.
I really liked that place. And then we decided, well, we haven't eaten and drinking enough. Let's go ahead and go over to, oh, here's a picture of the kitchen for Guy Fieri, is whatever you call it.
Right. Mm.
Which, by the way, they've got French fries on the floor. I want to pick those up. All right, so then we headed off to...
We already had our show on health department, so as long as we went there that night.
We went over to Carnival Corp.
They could mess up, what, like 12 more things?
That's
still
right.
Get an A.
That's right. You're still in. Come on, Guy. Or Guy. Went over to Carnival Corp. Now, Carnival Corp is, I have a sweet spot, a warm spot for Carnival Corp. This is a place where we met Neil and Sarah Mitchell for the very first time. This is back in 2006, and they called or emailed me about 6 months into the show, and they're like, hey, we're big fans of the show. We'd love to buy you and Melissa a drink. I'm like, that sounds great. Let's do that. So, you know, we did the whole, okay, we're going to schedule an hour because we don't know these people. We want to be able to get out. 5 hours later, we're like, yeah, you guys are the best people ever. So a very warm spot for Carnival Corp. Carnival Corp has got a couple of things that are very, very well known. One of them is that it is a flair bartender, a flair bar. And that means those are the people who take the liquids and the bottles and then they spin them around. And listen, if you haven't seen that, there is no better place to see that than at Carnival Corp. Carnival Corp is basically the apex of flair bartenders in all of Las Vegas. That's the place people want to go to. So the good news is they have flair bartenders. The bad news is they have flair bartenders, meaning if daddy wants a drink, what you don't want to do is go, oh my God, quit flipping the vodka. Just put it in there with some cranberry juice. I've got a bladder infection. Let's fucking go. But I will say they are fantastic to watch. And we got a good one. Here's a picture or a video of our flair bartender. We'll call him
Scott.
Look at that. Watch this. That's hard.
Yeah.
Nicely done. I barely like it.
There's some commentary in the background from a drunk spectator.
Right. He did some other pretty cool things here. Watch this. Back around. Boink. Nice. So imagine you're from Effingham, Illinois. You've never seen this before, and you're front and center and watching this craziness happen. That is pretty damn cool. All right.
Oh, wow. Nice little move at the end.
He's good. This guy's good. These are the best. When I first moved here, I spent some time talking to some of these guys, and it literally is the apex of flair bartenders. All right. So then we decided, well, we haven't had enough to eat and drink yet. Let's go somewhere else.
Okay.
And we did. So we went to my favorite piano bar in Las Vegas, and that, of course, is the piano bar at Harrah's. And I like this again because the people watching on the outside of the strip is fantastic. They got great musicians here. And the people watching inside the place is pretty good. For example, this guy here, he was done.
Yeah. He looks done.
I think he's had two drinks or one and a half drinks, but he was not having any more.
Not as done. I mean, you and I still have the record of seeing the most done person in all of Las Vegas.
A drunk girl?
Yeah, the Asian at Caesars. Yeah, who couldn't sit in a wheelchair. She was so drunk.
She couldn't walk. And then they put her in a wheelchair. Like, okay, that's a safety measure. We can't have her walk because she's going to fall and break something.
Yeah, of which she melted out of.
So it was so weird. She was like Jell-O.
Yes.
But
it hadn't fully hardened yet. Needed another hour in the fridge.
So they put her in the wheelchair and she literally went, and the security guys are going, the fuck are we supposed to do with this? This is not what's supposed to happen. This woman is supposed to say it. I'm like, well, this is, and she did that, well, I don't know how many times, four or five times.
Oh, at least.
It was, I kept thinking, then that girl's going to fucking die.
Yeah, right?
Because that activity is not positive. And the boyfriend's like, looking kind of embarrassed. I'm like,
can I go to jail for this? Yeah. Or is...
yeah. Well, it depends on a couple of things. A, how old is she? She looked pretty young, but you know, hard to tell with Asians.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the funny thing about this before we wrap up, that's the Harrah's story is Melissa got a brand new iPhone 7.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I liked her better than you.
She's bright. She sure is. And so she comes out of the bathroom and she's like, what's the matter? She goes, man, that's a fucking $700 phone. What are we doing here? She's like, well, I was in the bathroom, and next thing I know, the iPhone is in the toilet. I'm like, that's fantastic. So did you fish it out? She goes, yeah. So let me see it. Well, as you know, the iPhone 7 is partially waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
It held up.
Well, no problem.
Yeah.
First time I've ever said, all right, iPhones, okay. Your little walled garden prevented the water from coming into that phone. So you win.
It's watertight. Those bricks.
All right. Why did I write Wayne the official? I don't know why I wrote that in my notes.
Oh, football. Yo, we were talking about football.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier.
We'll skip that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do, what are we doing on time? Hour 14. We'll do a couple quick chat potpourris. Ready? Mike wants to know, what's your thoughts on the Miracle Mile shop being sold? I don't care.
Indifferent.
Yeah, it's being bought by a conglomerate that buys a bunch of shopping malls. If it was Westfield, which is a really big, very successful shopping place, which I think owns a fashion show, I'd say, oh, they're going to do well. These guys, I have no idea. And quite frankly,
it's a mall. I mean,
it's going to be
how many Banana Republics do you need?
Right, exactly. It'll be fine. Brian wants to know, top attraction that brings out your inner daredevil. The neighborhood just south of Stratosphere.
I was gonna say Sky Jump at Stratosphere.
Naked City. Yeah, there's no way I'm getting on that thing. Inner Daredevil. I would say walking at night anywhere south of Stratosphere, west south of Stratosphere is that's a daredevil move that I'd recommend against. Or some places in downtown, still kind of daredevil-y. Pops wants to know, is there an area where you would most likely be able to get permits to build a container home partially underground? Today's
Boulder
word,
City.
Today's,
Prump.
Today's word, paranoid. Pops, I don't know. Most people like to be above the ground, with the exception of those who are worried for a nuclear holocaust.
Your air conditioning bills would go down.
Yeah, they could. I would say, actually, Boulder City, probably. I think Pahrump might do that. What you do is, what you say, you go to the county, the Clark County, whatever you
City
call
Hall.
It, City Hall, and go, hey, I'm thinking about building an underground house. And they'll go, oh, what's your name? And we're just going to follow you around a little bit because you have a lot of weapons.
No reason.
Right? And what's your name? Ashtir? Perfect. That's fantastic.
We're doing all this.
Right. And then Morgan Dollar wants to know, Scott, roughly how much of a price increase for a home with a pool versus without for insurance? My guess it would be 10%.
Mm.
There's so many of them here. And there really aren't, you don't hear of many accidents here. I mean, you hear an occasional accident, but most people are pretty smart. As a matter of fact, there are some very specific rules that your house has to have if you have a pool. If you have a pool, your gates to your house must be self-closing and locking. Otherwise, they don't allow that. So for that, let's go swimming. And while we're swimming, let's have, because I need another one, a drink on me. Okay, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. It looks like our chat may have froze up. Maybe. Testing.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm getting it. All right. Sorry, chatters. Have a Drink on Me is part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a lounge or a speakeasy, and you guys guess the name of that bar, and you can win some fantastic prizes. Hey, let's tell them what they can win.
Despite the fact the summer months are over, it's still hot out there. And if you want to stay cool and stylish at the same time, especially with that wind we've been having lately, you can get at least some of your hair held down with the Vegas Video Network Visor. It's adjustable, so whether you have a small head or a big head, you're in business.
Hey.
If you're Hannah and you want to test out her new CD player and her 2017 Kia Sorento, what better, if they still come with it, I know, what better thing to stick in there than Gajazzathon, Christmas Acoustic, or Christmas Acoustic 2? Folks, it's almost Thanksgiving, Christmas is right around the corner, and nothing says Christmas like CDs. Or you're more than welcome to take Scott out to Harrah's until 4 in the morning. Buy him some trash can nachos. Watch him shake a valet's hand. And use his business card to influence getting himself to the front of the line all while he buys you
thank
a drink.
Thank you. And you, if you want to play and you want to get your chances to win, then what you're going to do is you're going to send an email. Hey, where would that email be?
Have a drink. That's HAVEADRINK at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Preference given to those who tape a $5 bill folded up as if you were going to do the handshake to the back of the letter.
I'd be really impressed if somebody did that. I think I might just give them the CD for the $5. Okay, there's a couple other ways to increase your probabilities of winning. You can A, bring in a send in a correct answer. B, send in the first correct answer. C, be in the live chat while we are on this segment, and you have got a correct answer, you get another chance. If you do one of our intro videos, the very first of the video, you get that stuff. And if you send in a video of you talking about the Haddam, you can also create more chances. Now, there's other great things, of course, that happen as a part of that. The best part is if you do win and you do find yourself with the Vegas Video Visor, well, then you end up being a part of the galaxy of gods. There is Robert C., our newest, and Rosie and Michael and Scott. There's Vicky and Bud and Alan and Aaron, our newest, and Bob and his wife, and there is Danny. Whoops. Danny.
And that's the show, everyone.
And Craig. And Glenn and Jimmy and Rob, and there's NY and Ken, and there is Christina, who's all babies are because of me, and Don and Jackie and Mike. There is Pops and Sammy, and Carol and a dog, and Chris's heart has stopped, and I got some good news about Chris, and Brett's dad and Scott, and there's your buddy Wayne, and of course there's is Mr. Fantastic. Get off there. Right. Okay. We got 23 out of 23. And here is our... You'll love this. You know what that is?
I'll take a guess.
Okay.
Is that Cleopatra's barge?
Look at you being all smart and clever and all. That's right. Cleopatra's barge it is.
They're taking that down, though.
Well, so I'm confused by that. Are they going to take it down completely?
Oh, yeah. No, they're taking it down.
Really?
Yeah.
They're putting a lot of live music, and then like Zoe Bowie's playing there, and a mm-hmm. bunch of other people are playing there.
Yeah, right no, now. They're taking it. Unless they're, because I saw a petition to save the barge. But yeah, that thing's gone. Because Matt Goss left.
Yeah, I know. He left.
So they were gutting the whole thing.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
I think reported that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. Ready? Here we go. I can't tell who's in the live chat now.
Nope.
We're going to have to guess. That's kind of fun. Let me actually check another way of this. I might be able to do this way. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I got many ways to play this game. Oh, yeah. Here we go. All right. Are we ready? Number one. Hat over here. Number one, we've got Eric Hansen. Eric Hansen gets one for the correct answer. Eric Hansen gets one for being the first correct answer. All right, let's put that over here. Then we got Jim Gallagher, Jimmy 2G's. Give him another one. And then we've got Tom U, Tom Uglin. And Tom gets one. And Michael Snow, Chicago Snowman. He gets one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. And then we've got Mike Q. One for the correct answer. Mike Q gets one for the live chat.
Mike who?
Mike Q.
Mike who? That's, so who's our first thing?
Oh, man. Comedy is much harder than it looks, isn't it?
What size in the spike shoulder pads? Because you can wear them for Halloween and then when the Raiders come.
Yeah, not interested. Greg Tappa, one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat.
We think.
No, I can see it. I can see it. I've got another one that's not locked up, so I can see. And we've got Penny Gregory, one for the correct answer. And we've got Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy, one for the correct answer. And then we've got Monica Fagan, one for the correct answer. And Aaron Perry, one for the correct answer. And Robert C., the newest Galaxy of Gods. And he gets one for the correct answer, and he gets, I thought I saw him in the live chat, one for being in the live chat, Robert C. Did he win this? Okay. And we've got Andy from New Hampshire. One for the correct answer. We've got Brett Barnes from Paradise, California. One for the correct answer. We've got Kevin Whipf, who is from Canada. He gets one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. It's Kevin W-I-P-F. First time in the live chat. He's going for more.
You don't say so, eh?
I don't say so. And Steve I, the wise guy from Prescott, Michigan. One for the correct answer. Steve I gets one for being in the live chat. And we've got Mike Beatty, who enjoyed the last week's show. He loved the tour of Topgolf. Have you been to Topgolf, by the way?
I have. Twice.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Mike. No. Okay. We got lots of emails. Here we go. First up, we've got Brian M. And I think Brian is in the live chat. There he is. So Brian gets one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. And Brian writes, most esteemed imperator. I was roaming around Yelp tonight and happened to come across this week's Haddam location, which simply stated is Cleopatra's barge at Caesar's Palace. Please be advised that if you are planning on visiting the Queen, there has been a plague of asps seen in the area and would recommend a limited stay. Likewise, the PMS, Persian Merchant Society, is putting on its first annual Fine Rugs and Apparel Craft Fair near the southern gates. The pharaoh herself has... Pharaoh can't be a female. It's only a male. Oh, Brian. He writes interesting words, and yet it's unknown if he knows what he's doing. The pharaoh herself has personally requested that a token of appreciation be purchased upon arrival. Your faithful legent, or legate. Legate? Hard to say. Brian M., thank you. He does put a lot into his writing, and I appreciate that.
Mm.
Next up, we've got Laura Meekin. One for the correct answer, and Lauren writes.
Hey, Scott. Thank goodness for the Liz Taylor clue. So obviously, she is probably most well-known for playing Cleopatra, using that as a starting point. After a bit of research, as I've not seen it for myself, this week's Haddam is Cleopatra's barge at Caesar's Palace.
That's right.
Best wishes to Brett. He's still in my thoughts. Hope he is doing well. Enjoy your week, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Very well done. All right. And next up, we've got Morgan Stromsmo. And Morgan, let's say Morgan's a woman.
Let's pretend.
Why not?
It's 2016.
Sure.
Hey, Scott. Welcome from snowy southern Alberta, Canada. I had a chance to listen to my very first live, in quotation marks, podcast this past Tuesday.
Woo-hoo.
Though I don't consider myself a newbie,
no,
as I've listened to many of your podcasts on YouTube. I would migrate, Morgan. I don't think it's going to catch on.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of all things Las Vegas, and I've become a big fan of your show.
Look at her.
If I have time next week, I will even try to jump in the live chat.
And she has in the live chat. I see her, Morgan S., so we're going to add her in there.
It seems like a good bunch who like to have some fun.
This week's
Haddam, Cleopatra's Barge in Caesar's Palace, was pretty easy for my first Haddam entry.
Of course
it was. My wife and I lost our Vegas virginity at Cleopatra's Barge.
Oops.
As we actually had our very first Vegas drinks in this bar.
Uh-oh.
The sticker shock almost killed me.
Yeah.
But I quickly learned it's just the cost of drinking on the strip. Keep up the good work. Cheers.
Here's a tip. Maybe if you're going to lose your virginity, don't do it at the Cleopatra Barge. That's just me, though. I'm crazy that way. So Morgan S. gets another one. And write Morgan Strom or whatever it was. Because I believe that's the Morgan who I see in the live chat. There's two Morgans, actually. We've got double Morgans today.
How about that?
Isn't that neat?
Wow.
And next up, we've got Steve Rhodes from the UK. Steve writes, hey, Scott. I hope all is well in the land of totally electable presidential candidates. Well, it looks like our intro video, Haddam entry, and a photo must have gotten snagged in your spam filter. 2 weeks ago for Haddam. Yes, it did. I'm sorry, Steve. I know you've probably cleared your spam filter by now, and I have. But if you could let me know the best email to send the intro video, though you would have added me to your trusted list by now. I should have done that. I'm sorry, Steve. Just send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. We'll get it that way. Actually, the best way to send it is through WeTransfer, which is a website, but let's not get carried away.
Yeah.
That's what Pops does. I'll send another entry this week, separate in the email, which you did, possibly returning in March. And with the current state of our exchange rate, good time for a UK holiday. Free drink would be worth a pricely sum in pounds and terms. All the best, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Next up, we've got Alan. Ellen Perry, who's in the live chat. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. He was one of the first ones in there this beautiful evening. And Alan writes,
"Hey guys, the Haddam Bar this week is Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. I think this was also the place that Matt Goss used to do his show. Is that right?"
Yes.
Yes, it is. "Now that Goss's show is closed, I ran into a rumor that Cleopatra's Barge was also due to close and be rethemed."
There you go.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. "Do you know if that's going to happen? What the Seahorse Lounge closed and will be opening with a different theme."
Horrible.
"I now read where the Seersucker Restaurant and the Omnia Nightclub are evidently closing."
Wow.
"What's going on at Caesar's Palace?
Panic.
Is this just normal attrition of bars, restaurants, and nightclubs? It seems like Seersucker wasn't there that long."
It wasn't.
"That place was Munch Bar just a couple of years ago."
Yeah.
"I guess nothing lasts long in Vegas." No. "It just seems like the pace of change at Caesar's Palace has been pretty rapid recently."
Yep. Nothing does last long. Reputations, virginity, nothing really lasts very long in Vegas. Why is it happening? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why. These properties are super aggressive when it comes to either you're making money or not. And by the way, most of the restaurants that you see there aren't owned by Caesars.
No, not at all.
They're four-walled. They're, you know, I'm coming in with Seersuckers. I'm buying the room. I'm renting the room, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not paying the rent, guess what? You
time to go.
Gotta go. And that happens with a lot of shows. There's been a shitload of show closings here. As a matter of fact, what's the rock one? The other Rock of Ages just announced that they're closing as well over at Rio. And they just moved to Rio, I don't know, 6 months ago? Wasn't very long. So it's rough times being a show, and I guess it's rough times being a restaurant, but it's always rough times being a restaurant. Next up, we've got Michael B., and one for the correct answer. Michael writes, "Dear Wayne and Podmaster General Scott, now that I've sufficiently buttered up the host, this week's Haddam is Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace, the former home of Matt Goss. I'm sorry that his show is one of the victims of the closing wave that's overtaken the strip." Man, we're just talking about that. "I have caught a performance back in January and enjoyed the Rat Pack vibe that Matt tapped into. Anyhow, thanks as always, Michael B. from Chicago." Thank you, Michael. And then finally, we've got one more. Pops writes, "Dear Scott and Wayne," this is Cleopatra. "Scott, at the risk
wrong
of..."
Button.
Huh? Thank you. "Scott, at the risk of further inflating Wayne's enormous ego..." Yep, you got nothing to say. You got nothing.
Guilty.
"I have to admit, it's fun watching you guys argue, but he obviously knows well enough not to be intimidated by you. It's a hoot to watch him call you on your bullshit, as long as he can prove that what you're calling on is in fact bullshit. Thanks for putting in the effort to inform and entertain us. I know it can't always be convenient and fun. Living in Las Vegas is a bright spot in my week every week. Digging the new solo co-host bi-weekly format. Pops." And Pops follows
Pops
up.
Telling Scott he's an idiot is both convenient and fun. I don't know what you're thinking of. It's the highlight of my bi-week.
Get a good look at him. "This is the last time. Let's count down his end." There it is. The most highly acclaimed, most widely discussed entertainment in the history of...
These Nuts!
Gonna leave a mark.
With Cher as Elizabeth Taylor and Donald Trump as
Richard Burton.
"Hey, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the
p-." That's
"Hey, kids. Pops here with a specially autographed copy of your jazz song.
Nice.
This week's correct Haddam answer is Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. This is a really good selection. It's got great people watching in the daytime, and at nighttime it has free live entertainment. I'm a big fan of live entertainment, and I'm an even bigger fan of free. Thumbs up, Scott. Another good Haddam bar choice."
Thank you.
Top pick. I mean, how do you argue with Pops?
You don't. You simply don't do it. That would be a mistake. All right. Pops gets one for the correct answer. Pop gets one for being in the live chat. And Pops gets one for sending in that fantastic video. All right. Let's stir it up. Big crowd, big crowd.
23 to 23, I mean.
All right, hit me with your rhythm stick.
Well, that's, I'm married, Scott, so.
I didn't see you hit me with your pencil. Lead. Oh, look at you being kind of crazy there. What do you got?
All right.
And our winner is?
Our winner is, this looks like Andy?
Andy from New Hampshire.
Oh, that's what that is.
Congratulations, Andy. You win yourself a visor or a CD or a drink on your buddy Scott. I will email you and find out which of those three lovely prizes you would like. All right,
let's look at... I was really trying to draw those Canadian names.
Yeah,
I really making you pay the extra international shipping is just, as Pops would call it, it's convenient and fun.
Your heartlessness knows no bounds. Okay, here we go. Here's this week's Have a Drink on Me.
Oh, I know that.
Hint number one. Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a little bit of a clue if you look carefully at the lettering that was cut off. Hint number one. It's a good thing this place doesn't behave like its name, or we'd be all spitting against the walls, round and around and around. A good thing this place doesn't behave like its name, or we'd all be pinned against the wall and spinning around and around. Oh, look at that. Our co-host already knows the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hint number two. Although that might be better... then heading over to the club, which is right next door. Although that could be a lot better than having to head over to the club, that's right next door. And finally, hit number three. If you're not feeling the bar, well, there's a crazy Cirque show just in the same property. If you're not feeling this bar, there is a crazy Cirque show here as well. If you know the name, you're going to send it to Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Again, that's Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com.
I used to play poker there. That's how I knew that.
Oh, really? Is a poker room right by there?
Used to be.
Okay. Hey, thanks everybody for watching. If you guys want to send us a voicemail, you can do that by sending it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you're checking us on iTunes, give us a five-star review, either the audio or the video. If you're checking us out on iTunes, which a lot of folks do, give us a thumbs up. Give us a five-star and share it with all your friends. And by the way, we're also on the Roku, over 32,000 installed. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV. We're on Google Play. And, of course, the Vegas Video Network. I'm your host, Scott. That there's your buddy, Wayne. We'll see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Take care, everybody. Ticket.